Welcome to Ex Libris, the premier podcast where the latest scientific discoveries are discussed in the context of their apologetic significance to the Christian faith. This program is brought to you by the monthly partners of Reasons to Believe. For more information, please visit reasons.org/monthly partners.
This is Average Joe Aguirre in the library of Dr. Hugh Ross, astronomer, president of Reasons to Believe. And here we are today to discuss a dark disk in our galaxy's history and whether it might be responsible for some of Earth's features. Hugh, let's hear more about this.
Well, I'm excited about this because this is something that I anticipated in my book, Improbable Planet.
You did?
I did. And some scientists are saying, are you sure you want to put this in the book? Because, you know, who knows how this is going to stand up with future discoveries. Well, turns out that it's very secure indeed, based on what just got published and got announced today on the web. And it's these two graduate students at Harvard University that, under the tutelage of professors I actually mention in Improbable Planet. And these are professors that notice that there seems to be a periodicity in the really big impact events that hit Earth. A good example would be the giant comet that wiped out the asteroid 66 million years ago. And what they notice is there's
wiped out the asteroids? Or
wiped out the dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs, okay.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the biggest mass extinctions. There's been five major mass extinction events we can see in the last half billion years, and they're correlated with these impact events. And so these two Harvard astronomers basically made the point, let's look at the really big craters on the face of the Earth, and you date them, and there does seem to be this periodicity of about 30 million years, 30 to 35 million years. What I said in Improbable Planet is that the periodicity seems to be about 33 million years.
All right.
And something I noticed in Improbable Planet was a study that people looked at the orbit of the Sun about our Milky Way galaxy. The orbit takes about a quarter of a billion years. So every quarter of a billion years, our Sun makes one trip around the center of the galaxy. And one of the features that makes advanced life possible on the Earth is that when our Sun is going around the center of the galaxy, it stays in the plane of the galaxy. So it's relatively close to the plane, which means that we don't jump up and down too much relative to that plane. And if we did jump and down as much as the other stars in our vicinity do, ours is the exception. It doesn't jump up and down much at all, but other stars do. And when they pop up or below the plane, they get exposed to the deadly radiation coming out of the center of our galaxy. After all, there's a supergiant black hole there that's pouring out deadly radiation. But we get protected from all the dust that's in the plane of our galaxy. Nevertheless, as we go up and down, as we move around, they call it the Z-axis oscillation. So we're going around the center of the galaxy, but as we go around, there's a slight up and down movement relative to the plane. And that has a cycle of about 30 million years, the same cycle as we see for these asteroid collisions. So what I cited in Improbable Planet is several researchers are saying we think there's a connection. Namely that when the solar system drops right into the plane, it gets exposed to more dense concentrations of matter. And those more dense concentrations of matter are going to disturb the Oort cloud of comets. That's the biggest comet belt that's around the solar system. It's very distant. It goes up to 2 trillion miles away from the center of the galaxy, but that is where most of the big comets and asteroids dwell. And the hypothesis was that when we drop right into the plane, the extra mass we get exposed there, and your giant molecular clouds and other stuff in the disk, that would sufficiently disturb the Oort cloud that you wind up getting these giant comets moving towards the inner part of the solar system, where one or more would have a decent probability of hitting the Earth, and this would explain the periodicity we see in the big impacts and in the mass extinction events that are generated by those impacts. Now, what this paper points out is that there's been a subtle problem, something I noted in Improbable Planet. And that is, is there actually enough mass in the plane of the galaxy to generate a strong correlation between the time we drop into the disk and these comet events?
Is there enough stuff out there, you mean?
Right. And what these two authors at Harvard did is they said, well, let's actually see if we can remodel the exotic dark matter component of our galaxy. That's one of the features of our Milky Way galaxy. It's different from the Andromeda galaxy in that much more of the mass of our Milky Way galaxy is dark matter, ordinary dark matter, and especially exotic dark matter. And so what they determined is that if indeed we have a disk of exotic dark matter in the plane of our galaxy, that would provide sufficient mass, a sufficient extra mass, that would actually explain the periodicity of these comets that we see striking the Earth.
All right. So when this when this happens, and you say it's every 35 million, or did you say 32?
Well, 30 to 35.
Okay, approximately.
Yeah. The number I put in Improbable Planet was 33. I've seen numbers as low as 27, numbers as high as 35. Now, the two authors actually take a look at that and say, you know, we don't see an exact periodicity. I mean, there is a periodicity we see in these comet things, but it's not exact. And so maybe there's complicating factors, and that's basically what the paper's all about. They said if we actually invoke exotic dark matter in the disk, it explains a lot. If we also take into account that another driver of these big comet collisions is when we cross a spiral arm. So they're basically making the point there's two things that are causing these giant comet impacts. It's the up and down movement of the solar system as it goes around the center of the galaxy, up and down relative to the plane, which is a periodicity of about 30 million years or 33 million years. A second component is when we cross spiral arms. And we cross a spiral arm about once every billion years. And they also, in their paper, actually established legitimacy of this disk of exotic dark matter. They make the point that it explains the dynamics of stars in the vicinity of the sun. So it's the strongest case I've seen to date that there indeed is this disk of exotic dark matter in our galaxy. So bottom line, I think they've really nailed it in the sense that, hey, we now know why this periodicity is a little more complicated rather than just a simple periodicity, because there's two components. There's the times when we cross a spiral arm, and there's the up and down movement. And it's not just giant molecular clouds, it's also the exotic dark matter disks that we go through. They're even in their paper able to describe the features of the disk, how thick it is, how massive it is. And so, and then they're able to use all this to say, okay, can we show that the crossing of spiral arms and the up and down movement of the solar system as it goes around the center of the galaxy relative to the disk, does that actually predict the timing of the giant asteroid, comet collisions on the Earth?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
And the answer is yes, it does.
Okay.
So for the first time, they're able to show that kind of correlation between the timing. And, you know, the greatest success, as I said, we're bang on predicting the date for the Chicxulub crater event, that one that happened in Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico that wiped out 3/4 of all the species of life on Earth, including all the dinosaurs. That was 66 million years ago.
All right. Now, you're saying all this because you would say this is a fine-tuned event, right?
Well, fine-tune in this sense. I mean, the big point I made in Improbable Planet, you need that periodicity of mass extinction events in order to compensate for the brightening of the sun. Because the sun is getting progressively brighter and brighter. That's chapter 12 of my book. And you know, all the attempts to try to resolve the faint sun paradox, and one of the missing components is, if you really want to have a full resolution of the faint sun paradox, you have to include these mass extinction events. And what the Creator is doing is controlling these extinctions so that, for example, he would be removing 50% to 75% of all species of life from planet Earth and replacing it with a whole new suite of life. After every mass extinction event, there's a mass speciation event. And this is something you actually see in Psalm 104. It's a property of all life to die off, but God recreates and renews the face of the earth. And when I point out improbable planet, that's exactly what you need to do to compensate for the brightening of the sun. So as the sun, for example, is getting progressively brighter and brighter, God removes life from the planet and replaces that with new life that's more efficient in pulling greenhouse gases out of the atmosphere. So as the sun gets brighter, the new life that replaces the old life pulls more greenhouse gases out of the atmosphere, which cools the surface of the earth. And it's all done in perfect sync. So as the sun is getting gradually brighter and brighter, the greenhouse gases in the atmosphere are getting progressively less and less, so the temperature in the surface of the earth remains optimal for life. None of that can work unless you've got a mechanism for removing life and replacing that life with new life forms. And given the rapidity with which the sun is increasing in brightness, it's not very rapid. It's about 22% over 4 billion years.
But would you say it's efficient?
Well, what I'm saying is that if just looking at the fact that the sun is brightened by about 22 to 25% over 4 billion years, you're going to want a mass extinction event followed by a mass speciation event happening about once every 30 million years. In other words, I'm saying the periodicity that these two Harvard astronomers are talking about matches exactly what you'd want to have to compensate for the brightening of the sun.
Right.
And to keep life as abundant and as diverse as possible on the earth.
The Creator has his purposes.
Well, that's all laid out in Psalm 104, how it's the plan of God to pack the earth with as much life as possible, as diverse as possible, for as long as possible. The reason why? That gives us human beings the maximum biodeposits that we can use to launch and sustain civilization. But one of the critical components is you need to have these regular mass extinction events followed by mass speciation events. And this new study basically confirms what I wrote about an improbable planet. So yeah, if I do a new edition, I'm going to have to include this material because it really strengthens the case we made there.
Fascinating stuff.
Provides more evidence for it. So
when is this going to happen again? Another dark disk event?
Well, that's something they actually talk about at the end of their paper, is that, yeah, we've established this periodicity. And they make the point that, there's going to be a little bit of randomness to it because, you know, when you're going through the disk of the galaxy, depending on what point that you penetrate that disk, you may encounter the massive stuff that disturbs the Oort cloud a little earlier, a little later. So throw in, say, plus or minus a million years. And then you've got the complication of when you're crossing a spiral arm. But what they're pointing out is, yeah, we actually can fit what has happened in the past of the orbit of the Earth about the sun, what we see in the big craters on the face of the Earth and the dates we have for them. But yeah, at the end of their paper, they said, we're due for another one because we're actually coming right into the disk of the galaxy right now. Part of that is good for advanced life because that means we get maximum protection from the radiation coming out from the center of the galaxy. But also means as we're encountering the mass that's at this in the disk of our galaxy, we have a high probability that that's going to disturb a giant comet in the Oort cloud and cause it to rush in towards the sun. You know, and that might hit Venus, might hit Mars. But of all the rocky planets in our solar system, the one that's got the highest probability of being hit is us, because we're the biggest. We're the biggest of the inner planets.
Now, you say high probability. You're not giving any time. You're not putting a...
Well, for example, we're looking at about a 33 million year periodicity.
Mm-hmm.
And the asteroid or comet that wiped out the dinosaurs, that was 66 million years ago. You can do the math.
All right.
33 plus 33 is 66. This looks like we're due right now for another event.
And, to an astronomer, that's okay. Whatever.
Well, I'll give you an example. I remember Comet Shoemaker crashing into Jupiter.
Shoemaker-Levy, was Shoemaker-Levy. In the 90s, was it?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Now, if that object had not been absorbed by Jupiter, but it hit the Earth, we would have been in big trouble. Mm. So, I mean, look at the damage it did to Jupiter.
I don't recall, but I remember that being in the news.
Well, it caused spots in the atmosphere of Jupiter, big blotches in the atmosphere of Jupiter that were bigger than the Earth.
Okay.
Because it broke up and all these collision events, it generated a lot of, you know, so Jupiter protected us from that one. But, you know, there could be another asteroid or comet coming in from the distant comet belts. And this time Jupiter wouldn't protect us. It protects us from most of them. You know, thank God that Jupiter's out there.
Yes.
But like what happened back in 66 million years ago, one of them slipped through the gravitational shield that Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune provide for us, and we got hit. Hmm. So
we tend to take things for granted. We're worried about earthquakes. We don't worry as much about
If you
rocks.
Really want to get panicked, read Revelation 8. Revelation 8 is a prophecy that there will be an object coming in and colliding with the Earth and poisoning one-third of our world's fresh water supply. So not as bad as what wiped out the dinosaurs, but bad enough to be disturbing to your investment portfolio.
Okay. I hope God is a good juggler and hangs on to...
Well, the bottom line is it could be another million years before we have an event. On the other hand, it could be a lot sooner.
Yeah.
But we are in that time window when we have a fairly high probability of getting a big collision event.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, thank you for your comments, Hugh. Sure appreciate that. And thank you for your ongoing support. It allows us to bring you up to speed on the latest scientific discoveries and their apologetic value. Don't forget, if you don't have Hugh's Improbable Planet, pick up a copy right now. For Hugh Ross, this is Joe Aguirre. Until next time, follow us on Twitter and Facebook at RTB Official.
We'd like to thank our monthly partners for making this broadcast possible. If you're not a monthly partner or would like information about becoming one, please go to reasons.org/monthly partners. Also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, where you can join the conversation about the latest scientific discoveries, headlines, and their apologetic value.